Well, it's good to be here this morning to worship together and open our hearts to the Lord and seek Him. It's a privilege to do that. We can do this in freedom and in an atmosphere where we're not having to worry who's looking or who's going to catch us here and run for our life. We just have a lot to be thankful for in the sense of freedom. We don't want to let that go for granted. I want to thank God for that. We have bodies where we can do that. You know, we're healthy. Those of us that are here can walk and move about, can get a drink and do what we want to do. Gaining a deeper appreciation for that as the days go by. Keeping an eye out with the situation with my father. My dad has Parkinson's, and he's not doing well, and not eating very much, not drinking very much anymore, and seems as though the end is getting closer in sight for him. And as I observe the situation, I just have a greater appreciation in a deeper way how that we can get around, we can get a drink, we can open God's Word, can get a hymn book out, we can read, we can sing, we can do business with God and can open our hearts to each other and can encourage each other along, and we want to thank God for that. But yeah, my dad's not doing so well, and I've been pondering on some of that. How much longer is it? And as we think about that and consider our days, seems as I look back at life and look at my children and growing up and looking at my own life, I just feel a need to set our hearts on things above. That's what the title of my message is this morning. If you could turn with me to song number 36, I was thinking about the life of Christ and just pondering on my own life here this last while. I just felt a need to dig into God's Word and my prayer time and apply myself. Feel like I need to move in an upward way. Maybe I feel a little bit sort of earthy. You know, by gravity and by the curse, we're very earthly minded. There's a lot of things weighing us down. You know, our minds, our bodies, the desires that they have, our bodies have, tend to be earthy minded, and except we turn our hearts to God and seek Him, we just tend to stay there and not move in a heavenly direction. But as I was thinking about it, setting our heart on things above, I'm going to be looking at John 17 this morning, but as I look at that, I just feel like God is just impressing on my heart in a deeper way, and that's what I want to share about this morning. And song number 36, I thought we could sing this song together. It's kind of a cry of my heart this morning. I feel for myself, I'm probably speaking to myself maybe more than anything this morning, but that's where I find myself. I want to encourage each of us to consider number 36. We could sing that together. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? In that song, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? What did thy only son endure before I drew my breath? What pain, what labor to secure my soul from endless death? Just thinking about that. What pain, what labor did he go through? What grief to secure my eternal life. O Jesus, could I this believe, I now should feel thy power. Now, my poor soul, thou wouldst retrieve, nor let me wait 1 hour. Just bringing out the fact of having faith in God, trusting in him, and we should feel his power. He would revive, retrieve our soul, our poor soul. Don't let me wait 1 hour is the prayer there. Just come, Lord. In the last verse, author of faith, to thee I lift my weary, longing eyes. I don't know how you find yourself this morning, where you're at, what you faced this past week. I don't know, but God does. God knows where you're at, what you're facing, what's burning in your heart, or maybe there's no fire burning. Maybe there's a need to light one. Maybe it's burning brightly. I don't know where you're at this morning. God does. And he wants to meet with each of us this morning and each day and draw us onto higher ground. He wants to wash us. He wants to purge us and do away with some of those things that beset us. He wants us to receive that gift of salvation, that washing, that cleansing. Because without that, our soul's gonna die. So I don't know, as I look at this song, I feel like it really spoke to my heart this morning. And as I looked at the life of Christ, we want to turn to John 17 this morning. That's where the heart of the message comes from. Setting our hearts on things above. Jesus did that. He was just a young man. He was not very old. I don't believe he lived any longer than 34, 35 years old. That's all it was. But he had a hold of some things that made a big difference between his life and probably those of his brothers and sisters. I don't know how their lives were. But he had a hold of some things, and I believe one foundational thing of that was in prayer. And I guess I was in John 17. I'd like to read that this morning, the whole chapter. I'm going to go through there, and I'm going to be looking at some other verses as well, but the heart of the message is from John 17. I'm going to read the chapter. It says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should have it, give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." I just want to stop there just a minute. Just think about that verse. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. What a blessing that we have a Christ, a Lord, that is interceding for us like this, with a love and a desire to make his salvation real and clear to mankind. That's precious. He's just there bringing our case, as it were, before the Father and saying, "God, have mercy, reach out, allow one more time, give him grace. He's my child. I know he failed. I know he needs strength. I know he needs you. Can you just touch him? Can you work in his heart?" I guess I just really appreciate the love that Christ had for us here in these verses. "And all of mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." The situations that we're facing are such that God wants to glorify himself through them. It's not just a happenstance that we end up, in a case like my dad, they're helpless on the bed. Sometimes you wonder, what is life worth anymore? Why, Lord? You know, you ponder on those things. And sometimes I think we do well to look at it while we're still strong and able. Why, Lord, what would you have for me to do? What am I here for? What do you want to work through me today? Whose life can I help touch? Come, Lord. And his heart is same towards us. That's beautiful. And it's God's heart to do that in us. And if we go on here, and he says some more. He says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, and even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Praise the Lord. What a cry of his heart is oneness. Us being one in him and him being one in God. A closeness that glory can be revealed. That as people are there and we relate from day to day, that they can see God, that they can see Jesus working in us, that they can see that there is a God who cares, who has peace that passes all understanding. And I just have a heartburn to come closer in this way. And I look at this, and then if you turn there to verse 19, I think there's some key things for us fathers and parents as we look at our responsibilities and older ones looking at younger ones. All of us in every stage, whether we're so high or we're 90 years old, we are all an example. There's always somebody looking on, or we're relating with others. Maybe our window of opportunity is a little smaller than others, but either way, we're all an example. We have an effect on those around us. And in verse 19, it says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself." Jesus went through all what he went through. He allowed God to work that in him, that sanctifying work of salvation being worked out. He allowed God to use him in that way in order that others might be sanctified through the truth. And it's just a beautiful thing as we walk in truth and make choices forward and upward, it sanctifies those around us. Our at least, let's say this, our character will have that saltiness about it. It just will. If we're just earthly minded and we're earthy, and that's what we talk about, that's what we think about, others will feel and smell and taste that. Anybody say amen to that? And there's something different about somebody who has this salt, and it's just contagious around them. You know, maybe their sentences and their thoughts are mixed with Jesus, with his word. The reason why this happened, why we do it this way, what we're here for, how your day is going. I believe we can have a lot of savor all throughout the day. And I gotta say, I'm preaching this to myself this morning, but we need those encouragements because by nature, we tend to gravitate. We don't tend to move upward. And Jesus here in allowing himself to go through this and be sanctified, or just fulfilling his Father's will, worked out our salvation by his sanctifying experience. And I have been pondering on that. How is that? And it says in verse 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify, something that only God's words can do. Nothing else can. Only God's word can do that. Our reasoning, our ideas, or our agendas don't sanctify. But as we incorporate God's heart and his plan, and we embrace his purpose for our time and for our thoughts, our habits, it brings about a savor and a joy and a freedom in God if we allow it to. If we just humble our hearts and say, Lord, speak to me. Work this in my heart. I know I'm not where I need to be, but Lord, sanctify my heart, my attitudes, my thoughts, my goals, my intentions. Work in me that which you'd work. I guess that's just what's been burning on my heart this last while. How that can be worked out in my life, that my life can be used for others. And at where I'm at right now, I just kind of feel like I've just kind of planed off a little bit, you know. And I need to move upward. And I believe Jesus, as he... In chapter 17, verse 1, as we look at that there, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Jesus knew where his strength comes from. Jesus knew his Father's heart. And he was going steadfastly in different places. In one place in particular, it says, and he set his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem. He didn't deviate from that. Didn't go a different direction. He just kept on that narrow path. If we look at he stayed focused there in verses 1 to 4. He glorified God on the earth. He finished the work. He knew his time was coming to a close. He knew that he didn't have much longer. He knew that. He knew that it was just a matter of hours. And it was going to be finished. If you look at verse 6, it says, Christ by his life spoke to the people of the world. If you just consider that, you know there's that phrase, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. If you think about that a little bit, for some people, that's the only Bible they'll ever read. That's the only example they may have seen. Even though we might think we live in a Christian community, so to speak, there's a lot of people that know what it is to live without Christ. There's a lot of religion in this community. But there's a great need for Jesus. There's a great need for the work of salvation. Salvation is not becoming a member of the church. That's a strong belief in this community. If we become a member of the church, that's our anchor. And our anchor needs to be in Christ and in God. Our children need models or examples more than they need critics. God help us with that as parents. Our children need examples more than they need critics. So God help us in that. As I look at that, I feel challenged in my own heart. In verse 6 there, it speaks about how that Jesus manifested God's name to those that were in the world. And he kept his word. He brought it forth to the people. As I look at that and think about in the beginning of his ministry, it speaks about how he spent time out in the desert fasting and praying and seeking God. And I looked at that different times and I pondered on it. Christ being God in the flesh, I think that the temptation and the power and the grip there is something beyond what I've known. And I was pondering on that. When Satan came to him, Jesus was God in the flesh. If you knew that your road was going to be hard and you knew really what your road was going to look like, wouldn't the temptation to just jump into power and take control of things yourself, wouldn't it look pretty tempting? Just wouldn't it hold an appeal? I'm sure that Christ faced a choice there that was powerfully strong. He made a right choice. He realized that the devil was painting it in a way that it wasn't. But the grip of that could have taken a hold. And if you hadn't eaten for 40 days, wouldn't you be hungry? Wouldn't it be really tempting to just get a piece of bread? I don't know why he fasted so long. I don't know what it was that was needful in this, that was a choice Christ made, but he chose to get a connection for sure, clear and real, and I don't know, to die to the flesh, I'm not sure what. But it was a long time, and that temptation was there to take a position, power, food. Those things are real to any fleshly body. Christ was God in the flesh, and it was real to him too. But he took and made wise choices in those things. He sought after God. He committed his life to God. What a blessing. In verse 9 of chapter 17 here, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I pondered on it different times. If you look at the life of Christ, there was a lot of different experiences he had. And I've noticed as I've looked at different of the experiences he had, oftentimes when there was a great moving of God, or when we read, there's different happenings that stand out. Some of the memories, like the lepers, some of these different ones that we hear about or think about when we think about Christ. If you look at those, many times when there was a big work that took place, it often was preceded by an all-night prayer. I don't know if you've noticed that, but different of these experiences that Christ went through, it speaks about how he spent the night in prayer, and he met with God a time or two. We read about his disciples were with him, and they met with God as he was meeting with God. The angels were there, and there was a fellowship, and it was a real connection. And he prayed. He says he prayed for us. He prayed for those that are called Christians, those that are made the choice to serve him. He prayed for those that were following after him. Jesus prayed constantly for the people God gave him. And he brought the people to God's throne and interceded for them. He was the mediator between God and man. And I guess for myself, as I look at my home and I look at my work, I look at my part here in the fellowship, as we look at relating together, our need to pray for one another is great. We need it ourselves, and those around us need it, because the devil, he's busy, he's not giving up. And God's mercy needs to be worked out in each of our lives. We all find ourselves at different places. We just want to pray for each other, even as Christ did. So that's something I feel challenged with, just realizing how much time Jesus spent in prayer. And if Jesus did that, how much more so myself? And I am. If we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Wanna read a few verses there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says there, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I was looking at verse 13 and 14. And just considering this thing of girding up the loins of your mind and being sober. What are some things, I'm just going to ask for a raise of hands from the brothers. What are some things that come to your mind throughout the day that you need to gird up your mind? What do you find that you need to shore up? Ungodly thoughts need to go out of the mind. Anybody else? Damn it.
Lots of doubt and fear, and I find myself needing to shore my mind up against vain imaginations.
Shoring up against vain imaginations, doubt or fear. Anyone else? Thinking negative thoughts, maybe about a brother or something, or just putting a stop to that. Wolf? Having a vision and how we raise our children, what we speak, how we talk or teach them. And I'm sure we could go on and on. And I, one thing that comes to my mind this past week, I was at a gas station. I went with one of my boys, where I got new phones and things. We were on the road. It was a little over supper time there. And I was in this gas station, and this woman was at the register, and there was, the radio was going, and she was right on time. She knew the words. She was about 60 years old, but you don't see it maybe so often, but she was moving. She was singing the words. I was pondering on that, you know. I couldn't even understand the words, but she knew what the words were. And she'd ring out the register, and then she'd go on to the next. I mean, she just was enjoying this song. You know, the words were coming. She was on time with it. And I was thinking about this as I left the place. What kind of music do we listen to? And how does it affect us? By the nature of music, it does affect us. When you come around a good song, and what I mean by that, I guess what I mean by that, we have, this past week at work, we had the one fellow, we have a crew dinner twice a month, and we were on our way to dinner, and he turned his phone on a line where you can listen to Christian music. And it was some really solid songs that he was playing. It reminded me of back when my wife and I were dating. Some of the songs that we were getting at the time, the acapella, were, when you hear them, you just want to start singing parts, and you just want to fit in and sing. I was blessed with that. Music will do that if you let it. It maybe won't if you don't, but I think music, by nature of it, is going to affect your mind. Whether you speak it, give place to it verbally or not, it affects our subconscious mind. The beat of it, the sound of it, the tenor of it, the spirit of it, the smell of it, or the abhorrence of it, and yet we're still listening. How is it? How do we find it? And as I was thinking about it, what are we listening to? When we get 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, when we're at the kitchen sink or whatever, what are we going to be singing? And what we sing is going to affect some of the friends that we have, the things we talk about, the attitudes that we have, the mannerisms that we display. It will impact us some way or another. So my encouragement for all of us is set our goals higher, higher and higher. And we won't regret that. We just simply won't regret that. Verse 13 says, gird up the loins of your mind. So maybe it's singing. Maybe it's the things that we're reading. What did we read this past week? How much time did we spend reading it? On some of these phones nowadays, you can hit a button and it'll tell you how long you had FaceTime connection with your phone. And the thought has been on my mind, how much, wish my Bible could tell me that. How much FaceTime do I have? Amen? You know, if you really want to do, you can put the Bible on that page. You can do it there too. Or what are we looking at? What are we filling our minds with? How profitable is it? Really? If you put it in a bowl and you boiled it on hot, and you looked in when you're done, would you want to eat what you're cooking? Would you? I don't hear much response. You know, I think we do well to ponder on that. If you're spending time cooking this, and you're really rearing it some more and going at it, and then at the end of the day you look at what you are cooking, would you want to eat what you're cooking? It's just that way. We're going to have, at the end of the day, a result. It's going to be there. When we put our head down on our pillow, what we've been doing is going to be there. And it'll tend to be what we think about all night, and maybe it'll affect how we get up the next morning. And I just want to whet our appetite real good, okay, for some heavenly ingredients for a good recipe that will get our hearts set on things above. And what we read, what we look at, what we listen to is going to have an impact on who we are, how we are throughout the day. May God help us to gird up the loins of our mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that's going to be brought unto each of us on the day of Jesus Christ. He's coming back again one day, and he's going to catch some people by surprise. And he's going to find some people ready. Amen? I believe it. He's coming back. This wicked world that we're living in is not going to last. It's going down. We want to go up. We want to be ready when he comes. We're reading a book as a family. I don't know how many of you know about Timo and Joey, Timo Miller, his wife Joey. It's her life story. This book's about this thick. Some of it we don't read out loud because where she's coming from was not a pretty situation. We just skip a page for some of the children's sake. We go on to the next one. But I tell you right now, the impact of that book is having something to do with my home. And I am enjoying that book. I was trying to study Friday night, and I wasn't a mistake, but I sat at the kitchen table, and you know how our house is. My wife was sitting in the living room, and I was trying to study about 2 hours, and you know, I don't think I got very far past the first page. I was absorbed in this story. I mean, it was good, and I was listening, and our whole family at times would laugh and at times was vexed by what she had to go through because of her circumstance. And I've been pondering on some of that, spending time on FaceTime individually usually doesn't have a lot of that effect on the atmosphere of the family around, does it? How often do we as a family sit down and read together, play a game together, spend time together? How often do we make opportunity to do something inspirational like that? So I want to bless my wife in doing that. She can read out loud for a long period of time and enjoys it, and I bless her for that. A good book is really motivating for the family. It's good to sit in the whole room together and go through it together. It really is. That book, I'm telling you, I went to bed. The family was still reading it when I went to bed last night because I had to get up early and I knew I had to go to bed. And it's just a good thing. The whole family wanted to be there. They want to stop when it's time to stop so they can all get in on it the next time. They don't want to miss any of it. And a good book can do that. So I want to encourage, maybe we can get some good books. And I don't mean just average, but let's get some good books so that they have a good impact on our ears and our minds and our hearts, and move us in a good direction. I think we could sometimes clean house a little bit sometimes maybe with what's there. And I need to do the same and be done with some lesser things. Amen? I really feel it's a good thing. I really encourage that, to spend some time like that. We've been blessed with that, and life is very busy. Sometimes it's hard to find time. But so what are we reading? And I just want us to be real honest about that, right to our heart. What are we reading? What are we watching? What are we listening to? Gird up the loins of our ears and our eyes and our minds. As obedient children, fashioning ourselves as unto the Father. In verse 17, it says here, if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges every man's work, pass the sojourning of our time in fear, it says. Okay, I want to make that a little bit more realistic for us, okay? So if you stand before God, it's not going to be like, okay, yeah, my name is Dirk Visser. This is what I did for you. We're not going to tend to have, when we stand before God, we're not going to be proud of how much of what we did. I'll just speak for myself. How much will we have this before God that we'll be thankful for or proud of that we did? How much are we going to wish we left behind? Do you understand my thought in this here? Past the sojourning of our time here in fear. Our time is going to be accounted for, and we better pass the time of that sojourning with a respect unto our Maker, or we're going to be caught by surprise. That's just how the warning is. Let's be fearful of that. Not in the sense of it not doing a good work and just being full of fear. That's not what I mean. But being respecting God's word to the place where it sanctifies us. And we put some things behind because it's coming a day. It's an encouraging thought to be ready to meet the Lord. It really is. There's nothing to be afraid of. And so I just want to encourage us, set our hearts, our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For as much as you know in your heart, I know in my heart, that those things are not going to redeem me if I put my confidence in what I'm doing, if it's lesser than the things above. Is that not true? We're not going to be redeemed with gold and silver. We're not going to be redeemed with corruptible things. Amen? We're not. We're not going to be saved by those things. We're going to be saved by things that are from God's word and things that are above, things that are true, things that are right, things that are pure, things that are noble, things that are God-honoring. That those conversations, those motives, those agendas that we have or do we have, they're not going to save us. God will save us. And we want to set our heart on things above. And I also was pondering on too, okay, as brothers, I've been pondering on it some. It's, how is it with our greeting? I've been challenged. There's a brother at work. He's not been there long. He's just come on board. I will bless him. He has a very good greeting every morning. He comes right up. God bless you, brother. He'll give you a hug. He'll greet you. It's not just a bypassing. It's intentional. And that has really whet my appetite for things above. We have a lot to be thankful for, brother, sister, God bless you. How is that? Do we have that kind of love for one another? Seriously, do we? Let's think about that. Our lives, it can be that way. It really can. We want to have that kind of assault. So let's bless one another. Let's have a love, a fervent love, that when you meet that brother, you knew that it meant something that he met you and he wants to bless you. How many of you appreciate being greeted that way? I do. How is it for us? Sunday morning or Monday morning or Friday at 5 o'clock? How is it for us? Just want to encourage us. Let's move to higher ground. Amen. We can do that. We want to encourage each other along. We're all born of corruptible seed, but the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, has been born in our hearts, and God wants to see that watered and see it grow and see it bear fruit. That's what He wants. He paid a lot for this thing. He really did. It meant something to Christ, or He never would have come down for you and for me. He paid it all. And going back to John chapter 17, I want to turn there, look a little bit more at verse 11 and 12. Just want to speak about that a little bit. Christ realized that, see, as Christ spent time with his disciples, the apostles and disciples, they felt like that was heaven on earth. They didn't want to see him go. They wanted to keep him. And there was nothing wrong with that desire at all. That was a good desire. But Jesus knew that in and of himself, he was not going to be able to meet all the needs. He just had a part in the process of the salvation of mankind to bring that process of salvation to a fruition, to a reality, that once that work was accomplished, he would leave and the Comforter would come. And that Holy Spirit could take and do that precious work in each of our hearts and work out that salvation in each one of our lives. Jesus knew he couldn't get the job done. So he had to leave. He just simply came off the ground and left. And the Holy Spirit came. And brothers and sisters, let's consider that precious, amen? That first work, let's not lose sight of that first work of our salvation. Let's keep that fire burning. If that fire can burn in our hearts, it will guide us into all truth. If that fire gets dim or cold, we're going to wander around and not be where we'd want to be. Where we should be. And Jesus was praying here that God would keep them. But Jesus knew he had to go so the Holy Spirit could come. And that's where we're at today. And I guess for myself, how is it? Is my heart, am I spurning the Spirit? Or am I opening the door? That's my prayer this morning. God, help me with the hardness of my own heart, or is there any, to open the door and say, Jesus, come in. I want to connect with you. I want you to do your work in my heart so I can be pure, so I can stand before you one day and be not ashamed. I want to be ready. So I just want to encourage us in that way. He prayed and he prayed and then he left. So that a greater work could be done. The Holy Spirit could work in all of our hearts and sanctify them through the truth of God's Word as we put our hearts into His Word and read and allow God to speak to us so that our lives can touch those around and speak to those around us. We are to be in this world, but not of this world. Knowing and embracing God's truth and His Word. Living a life after God, pleasing Him. The temptations Christ faced to set up His own kingdom were all there. They were all there. He could have had it made. But the moment he took that choice, it all would have fallen. And how is it for us? Amen. If we take and choose what's right and we walk that way, when we make our own choice, the results tank. It just goes down. So God help us to allow his word and his spirit to speak to us. I think that's the heart of what I had to share this morning. I just want to encourage each one of us. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But my heart is, what are we content with this morning, and where should we have a hunger for more? We need to be done with those lesser things and have a hunger for God and His heavenly way. That's where contentment is. That's where fulfillment is. Let's don't settle for less. I think we all know that settling for less brings way less than desired results in the end. Is that not true, brothers and sisters? We want to press on and encourage each other to do so because our time is short. I look at my dad and I look at him laying there and I think, 67 years. Where am I going to be? We do well to think about it now. While it is called today, lest through the hardness of our own heart we find ourselves on some other path. May God help us. I want to encourage you. If you think of it, you can pray for my dad. He's definitely not doing well. And I just ponder, when you can't relate anymore, when you can't do anything for yourself anymore, and it doesn't look good anymore, I don't know how it is to be that way. But if we can pray for him, God knows. And I just want to do that, and I encourage you to, if you think of it as a family, it's just been a lot to sort through, and with some of the things that have been the way they are, and I just want to do my part and be a blessing. But if you just picture each one of yourselves and myself laying on that bed, as it were, and your life's not over, but you've lived it, are you going to be where you want to go? Or are you going to be happy that you're there and the choices that you made? It could happen on your way home from church this afternoon in a car wreck. It can happen. We don't know. You might only be 8 years old. You might be 25, right in your prime. What my heart is this morning is that we encourage each other to set our hearts on things above. And not be settled with just the cottage below or however it is. Let's just whet our heart and our appetite and take it serious while we have a chance. And God bless each one of you.